This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. In the United States, the number of good-paying union jobs is decreasing as corporations outsource to other countries, the right wing continues its attack on the labor movement, and market forces pressure companies to reorganize. Unions are doing their best to help the country keep its middle-class jobs. One way is to find buyers for companies or facilities which are scheduled for closing. That is the case with the United Electrical Workers, UE, in the state of New Jersey. The closing of the Hess oil refinery in the state was announced in January. I talked to the Washington representative of UE, Chris Townsend. I asked him about the refinery and the effect of the announcement of its closure.
The Hess refinery has been there for more than 50 years at this particular location in our state of New Jersey, and it produces gasoline and fuel oil. And it has had its ups and downs over the years, but it's been a reliable, stable part of the community there, and very good jobs for the members, the 101 some odd members of UE and several other unions, and then of course non-union managerial staff and such. But a very key piece of the community in Port Reading, New Jersey, and the effect was a shock because we actually had entered into our customary bargaining with the company, and then the company chose to use that as the time to announce to us that it was going to cease operations. And it's a shock because not only is this always a shock wherever you are when you lose the best job that you've ever had, but on the other hand, it's also a sign of the times. And then this particular group of workers has been really impacted severely going back to last October and Hurricane Sandy. This was one of the hardest hit parts of the country.
Besides being a facility to refine oil, the refinery acts as an emergency source of oil and gas for the region. Can you give us examples of this?
Yeah, I mean, one of the bitterly ironic parts of this story so far is that the members of my union and the other staff at the refinery, and I should even give the Hess Corporation some credit, during Hurricane Sandy, we were the only source of gasoline for vehicles, police, fire, power company vehicles for miles around. And we had caravans of emergency vehicles to visit the plant because we also had our own ability to pump fuel. So right through the storm and shortly after for several weeks, we were a key source. And we had members who worked day and night in the plant to keep it going. We had to idle the facility for the duration of the storm, but we immediately got back up and running. And we, of course, earned political good words and speeches and visits, including from Governor Christie of New Jersey to visit the facility shortly after the storm and heap praise on everybody. And we had a number of members, including our local president, who had severe damage to their own personal homes during all this. So it was sort of a greater shock to go through the storm, to have performed so heroically, and then to see the place announced to close so soon after.
Tell us about the workers at the refinery. How many are there? What would the average age be? Would it be difficult for them to find employment elsewhere?
The number of workers, we represent a little more than 100 workers in UE. There's two other unions on the property that conduct, they're smaller, and they conduct some of the transport work and the marine work of the oil incoming. And then we have, of course, unorganized staff, office staff, clerical staff, managerial staff. So there's also contract employees who don't work for Hess but come onto the property to do work. So if to put a number on it, there's probably 400 or more solid living wage jobs, union and otherwise, that this refinery has supported over many decades. And it's age-wise, it's mixed, but we tend to be a little older because many of these jobs are highly skilled and we have career employees. There's not much turnover. In terms of how difficult to find employment elsewhere, well, that's probably up to each employee. You know, it depends on where they live, what their circumstances are, their age. We will have some workers who are retiring because we have concluded an amicable severance agreement with the company, and some will retire, some are skilled. Some will probably, like most plant closings, we'll probably have some workers who transition quite quickly, if that's the way it ends up, to new employment. Others will be caught. But we're higher than average skilled group of workers, so we're hopeful. And we will have, even if the worst happens and we're unable to save the refinery for the near term anyway, there will be some dozens of our members who continue to handle oil products on the site in the tank farm and storage farm. So it's not a complete destruction of the facility, but a pretty darn near complete destruction.
The union is trying to find a buyer for the refinery. Are there any indications that there might be buyers?
For any of the listeners that may know anything about UE, I mean, we're sort of a fight to the last type of union, because that's just kind of in our makeup as a trade union. But even in this case, it was hardly a second thought, because we've seen in the United States, in the East Coast in particular, but not just the East Coast, but we've seen this trend over the recent decades where the refining capacity continues to dwindle. Some might say is being deliberately constricted, but the result has been higher and higher prices and tighter supply problems. And that's why during Hurricane Sandy, we had catastrophic shortages, not only because of power, but just there is not enough supply. And the price spike that we're experiencing now of something on the order of 50 cents per gallon, which is historic. We've never had East Coast gasoline prices, I think nationally averaged, but certainly in the East Coast, the middle Atlantic of the United States, we've never had gasoline prices this high in February. So it does not bode well for the summer driving season. But in any event, we immediately went into action as a union, local, regional, national level, to immediately kind of collect our thoughts, do our homework, conclude our severance, and then begin to reach out to any potential buyer. And the Hess Corporation is aware of what we're doing and has not objected in any way. And we've discussed this with them, and it's been helpful in the sense that we've been able to reach out and talk to, at this point, about half a dozen serious, credible, possible buyers. But on the other hand, it's, of course, not that simple. We're talking about a major purchase or lease of a facility by a new entity, firm or corporation or another refiner, tremendous amount of things to do besides just curious conversations and curious explorations. But we feel determined as a union to do this, because not only to save our jobs and the other jobs in that community, it's kind of our obligation as a union to do this, but it's also, we've had recent experience because of these market situations, these market conditions that I was referring to. We've had some success in other unions, the Oil Workers Union, which in the United States is part of the Steel Workers Union. Now, the Steel Workers Union has begun to wage repeated campaigns when refineries, when their representatives, where their members work, are listed for closing. And actually, only 100 miles south of where our refinery is, last year, the Steel Workers Union were able, through their own efforts and nobody else's, to save and find new buyers for two out of three refineries that were slated to close. So these are titanic battles for unions. Like all of us in the trade union movement, wherever we are, we're under assault from all sides, and we're our resources are taxed. But even under these battleground conditions, we're seeing an increasing possibility to find buyers, partly because we do the work to do it, we don't give up, and then also partly because these are profitable facilities that can be run and new owners arrive on the scene. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to find a buyer and move forward you know, as quickly as possible. But it is going to be a substantial undertaking that's already taken us a month and will take further time as we go forward.
Are the politicians in the region helping to solve the problem?
In terms of the actual region where this facility is located, it'd be the New York City metropolitan area, northern New Jersey. Probably the thing that we're most in need of today, and we've begun to receive some significant help, is we're really beginning to bear down on some of the political leadership. I have to say, I've been in Washington, D.C. as the union's representative for 21 years now, and this has surely been the poorest performance on the part of the elected leadership, state, local, and national, in our federal Congress. I mean, it's appalling that we have political leadership that absolutely has no imagination, no interest in undertaking any kind of a project that in this case might actually save the jobs, save the tax base for the community. There's just a defeated resignation on the part of many of these political leaders, and we've begun to really, and this is something that I'm not totally surprised by this in today's world, but it's a lot of extra effort that we've had to put together to sort of get the attention of some of these lawmakers, get them interested, convince them that any effort in this regard might be successful. And this is a whole piece of the work that we would rather be spending reaching out to possible buyers rather than trying to recruit some allies. But we are going to need some of these political allies because, of course, the oil industry is highly regulated. It's highly politicized. And, of course, ultimately, there is something that these lawmakers can do. One of the slogans that we've sort of begun to use, which is everybody in the United States here, everybody complains about high gas prices. Somebody has to do something about it. Well, we're doing something about it.